Title today is How Not to Swear. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know about y'all, but for the longest time, I thought swearing meant cussing. And I'm not giving you a license to cuss. Cuss is not a good thing to do. You shouldn't cuss. You just you shouldn't do it. You say, well, didn't you just make a mistake? No, I said cuss for a reason. Some of us cuss. Others just cuss. It's bad. Amen? I was a man myself who hung around with a certain crowd, and we had a terrible vernacular. I mean, we knew how to cuss wallpaper off the wall. We would embarrass sailors, brother. You were a sailor. He said, cuss like a sailor. Man, we make sailors blush. Amen. I mean, we had words that we'd invented words. But that's not what the scripture's actually talking about. What we're going to look at, by the way, the brother is not just saying I. He's saying, in God's name. To use God's name in vain means something you may not be aware of. Okay, turn it on. There we go. King James Version of James 5:12 says, above all things, my brethren. Interesting, of all the stuff, just a quick little editorialization, of all the stuff that James has talked about, he says, and above all that, whew, what is next? Swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. I'm a great fan of King James, but I'm not sure I get it all the time. So therefore, the message says, another translation says, since you know that he cares, anybody here doesn't know that God cares how you talk? Is anyone here that thinks God really doesn't matter to God what we say and how we say it and who we say it to or what manner? Okay. Since you know he cares, let your language show it. Come on. This is I got a one verse, 15 minute sermonette that is going to help or hurt or make you mad at me. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, it was probably good I talked about finances before we talked about this, right? Hallelujah. Let your language show it. Don't add words like I swear to God to your own words. Don't show your impatience by concocting oaths to hurry up God. You hear what I'm hearing out there? A lot of nervous silence. Just say yes or no. Just say what is true. That way, your language can't be used against you. Well, hallelujah. What in the world are we talking about? James has just spent a bunch of time talking about a lot of subjects. He's talking to a group of people who've had a lot of hard times. He's talking to people who's lost a lot. He comforted them through their suffering. He counseled us to endure everything with patience. And then stops and gives us a note of warning in one verse. Hallelujah. He warns against the misuse of speech by swearing. You know, just a side thought here. Most of us kind of take speech for granted. Just, you know, we open our mouth, it comes out. We take it for granted. I've worked with some people who are nonverbal. And the frustration I see with some of these children, because they can't talk. Imagine for a moment if you couldn't talk. The only good thing I could tell you about it is you wouldn't get in a lot of trouble by what you said. Hallelujah. James says, don't misuse your speech. He warns us that we should not swear. Now, let me give you a quick definition of swear. It means to affirm or deny an oath. It doesn't mean using cuss words. It means adding God's name onto what you're trying to say. An example. Let me pick on the young people for a minute. Oh, Mom and Dad, if you let me go to the dance, I swear to God I'll never be bad again. I know you never said that. We make oaths. Oh, I God knows I would never do that. Oh, you know, God this and God. I don't think we understand the word we're using anymore. James warns the people, don't make an oath. Don't swear by God. Don't swear or make an oath at all. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4, for those who don't like to listen to James, let's talk about his brother for a moment. Hallelujah. Now, depending on your tradition, you may have a problem when I say that. But a lot of people seem to believe, and I'll agree with them, that James was the brother of Jesus. Some say half-brother, some say full-brother. I don't know. They were brothers, okay? And Jesus said, don't say anything you don't mean. Wow, I could stop right there and we go home. Don't say anything. This is the swearing thing. Oh, I wouldn't do this. I won't. James says, don't say anything. Excuse me. Jesus said, don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. Judaism had taught that. You've been taught that, no matter what your background is. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk saying, I'll pray for you, and never do it. Or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. Hello. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. That's words and making it look pretty. Hallelujah. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. Hallelujah. I want you to remember for a moment here, all of your teaching, all of your Christianity, Jesus' teachings were all practical. I heard a man on the radio the other day. I really have to change radio stations. There's this young man on the morning, and I won't tell you his word FM, but he says some of the most irritating things, and I don't know about you, I shout at my radio. Not like the man can hear me, but he was talking about something that Jesus said. He says, do you think that was really realistic to say that? That's Jesus, man. Of course it was realistic. Hallelujah. I understood his point. The point is, can you really do that? The point is, you have to do that. The stuff that Jesus taught us was practical, not in a religious sense. You know, you can spend a whole, I got to be careful, this sermon that's getting longer. But you can spend a whole lifetime involving yourself in religious practices and never see your life change at all. Amen? Christianity is a life-changing thing. It's not just something you believe, it's something you live. Jesus didn't preach some pie in the sky, by and by, just come to church on Sunday, give your money, be nice, light a candle, whatever your tradition is, and you'll be fine. See, I told you earlier in the exhortation that the resurrection changed everything. The resurrection of Jesus not only changed the world, but it changed the people of the world. You and I are not the same human being anymore because of Jesus Christ. His teachings are practical. They're applicable. There's something we can put on like our clothing and wear it every day. It's something that'll change us from the inside out. That's what Jesus taught. Hallelujah. You wonder, I wonder, where did James get his practicality from? I told you before, people say he was the brother or half-brother of Jesus. I think he rolled with Jesus. I think he was part of Jesus' crew. I think he may have heard, I know he heard, the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now here we are years later, James is writing his own epistle, and he's got the same level of practicality that Jesus taught. Hallelujah. And here's what it teaches. Let your words be few, let them be truthful. I talk for a living, not just here. I'm a counselor. But I'm learning to guard my tongue a little better. I'm learning to say a lot less. Listen more. Speak less. Be careful what I say. Someone misquoted me recently and I almost got in a bunch of trouble. And I learned from it, Brother Dave. Be careful what you're saying. You know, when you talk for a living like I do, sometimes you can say thousands and thousands and thousands of words a day. Guard them. Gee, isn't that what James is teaching us? Isn't that what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? Do you think maybe it was for then and not for now? I don't think so. Matthew chapter 5 again. Jesus put it simple. Just say a simple yes I will or no I won't. Now if it just was that, We say, okay, I get that, but I want you to help me read the next line. On the count of three. One, two, three. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. Someone help me out. Who's the evil one? Why would Jesus look at the people of his day and say, you are of your father the devil? Was he saying you're possessed? Are you saying you? He was saying you're doing the same things. Is it the things of the devil you want to do? One of the things the devil does is talk too much and lie. Hallelujah. Jesus says, keep it simple. Keep it plain. Please look at this word. Anything. Anything. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be nice if we could be such and so like Jesus? Do you realize that Jesus never had to apologize for anything he said? Think about that just for a moment. One, two, three. Oh, that's not. Why? Because he said, I say nothing I haven't heard my Father say. Tom and I and other people, we work with children during the week. And there's a man, I won't mention him now, I won't plug his stuff, but he's a good man. And some of these were here when I showed the films. He's a psychologist, and he tells parents, do two things. Quit feeling the way you feel and quit talking so much. You know what we Tom's laughing. You go to your child. I don't care if it's a young child, an old child. You go to your child, and instead of just saying, don't do that, you say, don't do that, then you launch into a 20-minute exhortation as to why they shouldn't do that. Meanwhile, in their mind, they're saying, please, Dad, shut up. They got it. But we keep talking. We do, and the Word of God says, speak few and truthful words. Amen? Hallelujah. By the way, let me help you with something. In most cases, when your child says, would you please stop, I got it, they mean it. I know children want you just to stop, and they'll say stuff, but they got it when you said it. Okay? If they don't, they have consequences, and we won't talk about that. Hallelujah. This is a quote from Jesus. Talking too much, you'll say something you shouldn't say. You'll say something you draw from your base nature, which is very much like the devil. He said, where'd you get that from? You haven't been listening. When Jesus looked at the people, he says, you are of your father the devil, and the things of your father you want to do. He wasn't saying they were possessed. He was saying you have in the similar nature. Hallelujah. Can I challenge you? What part of us? Is any part of us like the devil? Oh, well, I'm saved. I know that. But is any of us untruthful? Part of us do we lie? Do we talk too much? Do we do the things of the devil? Do we manipulate and control? Hallelujah! It's amazing what James said in one verse. He says you talk too much. Say yes or no. Jesus said anything else is from the devil. Now, this here is a warning against what I'm calling casual swearing, making an oath. What's casual swearing? Swear to God. Oh my God. I hear, it bothers me, I'm sorry, maybe just because of who I am. When I hear God's name used over and over and over, it doesn't even have to mean a curse word, but sometimes it is. We're going to get there in a minute. Over and over and over, God, 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 God. Can you imagine if he was listening, what? Hallelujah. I'm a fan of Bill Cosby. He has a skit where he talks about that. So why you got to use God's name? Every time you turn around, I forget that the guy, he says, I got a friend, say Harold, I don't know who it was. He said, he's not doing anything. He says, oh, Harold, damn it. He says, he won't mind. Leave God alone. Now that I've said that, let me get into something just for a little bit. Why do we say things like that? We're calling upon the power and authority of God to damn somebody who won't move it from in front of you at a red light? That's what we're doing. That's why we're calling upon an authority. Aren't you really glad that the person next to you can't call down the fire of God when they're mad at you? Y'all need to think about this. Only one scripture. Short little sermonette. James was a powerful writer. We should not be dragging Jesus into every conversation just to prove ourselves. If you're going to talk about Jesus, let's talk about the goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, for the goodness of Jesus and all He's done for me. If you want to talk to the person in front of you, who's only supposed to have 10 things in the express aisle, and they're checking out a whole basket full, don't curse them. Tell them about Jesus. Don't call upon Him in His fire. Don't mumble and grumble. No, razzle, frazzle. It ain't tongues. No, no. Hallelujah. Tell them about Jesus. If you're going to drag Jesus into your conversation, witness. The brother said before, invite people to church. Who wants to come to church when you're cursing them every time you turn around? You no good son of a... How'd you come to church? Yeah, that's going to work real well, isn't it? Hallelujah. Glory unto God. I heard a story a while back. I thought it was so funny. It was told by a police officer. This police officer was sitting behind a car in a long line waiting in a red light. And it just went, I know this never happens to you. It happens to me all the time. The light changes, and the people up front apparently are snoozing. And I'm back there going, move! Well, this is a long line. There you go. The problem with a horn, it identifies who's actually doing it. But in this story, there was a woman sitting in front of the police officer, a marked car. And there were several changes of the light, and she was still waiting her turn to go. And the police officer, being the trained investigator that he is, he couldn't help but notice this woman was just plain flipping out. She was banging on the steering wheel. He could hear her yelling. She was shooting the bird over and over and over again. Finally, he turned on the lights, came over and tapped him and said, let me see your license registration. What have I done wrong? I think you stole this car. Well, why would you think that? It's because there's a Christian bumper sticker on the back, and the way you're acting, you can't be the owner. Uh-oh. On the back, I love Jesus. In the front, you son of a... I don't know. Maybe it's me. We shouldn't be dragging Jesus into the conversation. You say something to somebody, and they kind of like, well, I swear to God. Why? Let a yes be yes, or an A be nay. That is using the Lord's name in vain. That is vanity. You know what that little sign there is? That little sign is sign language for Jesus. Hallelujah. Many times, here we go. We're winding down already. This is the sermon et of the day. Many times we use God in His name to add weight or believability to our conversation. Maybe you've seen a movie. I don't think they do this in real life anymore. Where they go to arrest somebody and they arrest them and say, stop in the name of the law. You know what in the name of means? In the authority of. This here, in the name of Jesus. You know what in the name of Jesus means? In the authority of Jesus. When you look at someone and you curse them in the name of Jesus, when you give them a hard time in the name of Jesus, you're trying to call upon the authority of God Almighty and His wonderful Son to add power, to add strength to what you're saying. Hallelujah. Why would you use God's name to damn something if you weren't trying to call upon power greater than your own to actually bring a damnation? You see, it's more than just a word. You know, I don't know a parent here that wants to hear the kid running around yelling and screaming obscenities. By the way, if you don't want your kid yelling obscenities, don't use them yourself. Okay, anyway. Professional thing there. I just can't help it. Hallelujah. But we want to use God's name to add believability to what we're saying and doing. Now, let me just say, as a pastor, I'm not trying to play God here, but I understand people wanting to use your authority. I've had people in the last 25, 30 years come to me over and over and over again, could you do this, or could you do that, or you could speak to that person, or could you? Let me tell you something. I have no authority in that area. Please don't use my authority. I say things at on the job, and next thing I was like, well, George said. George has no authority. Why call upon me? But we do that with God. We do that with Jesus. Think about it. Now, I know you don't do it anymore. It's been years. Whatever. But think about the last time you heard someone use Jesus' name in vain. What were they really saying? It's almost, on the other side, it's almost like, you know, we have this language called Christianese. We speak a language no one knows what it is. Do you know that the words praise the Lord is not a punctuation mark? Oh, we're having a great day. Praise the Lord. No, it's having a great day, period. Praise the Lord for having a great day. But we everything we say, praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. Most people look at us and go, huh? We do the same thing mindlessly with God's name. Do you understand, do you know, do you care that when the Bible was written, when it was copied by hand by the Hebrew scribes, they considered the name of God so holy they wouldn't speak it and they wouldn't write it. That's how we come up with names like Yahweh and Jehovah, because no one really knows. The name of God was not to be spoken out. It was such a holy, powerful name. Today we use it as a punctuation. We use it to call upon power that's not ours, to make ourselves believers, believable. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Our word, things we say, should be truth. And we should be believed simply because we said it. What am I talking about? I'm talking about character. We don't have to. We don't have no need. Jesus lies within us. I'm going to show you that scripture as we get ready to close. Jesus makes us truth. Jesus makes our words truthful. We shouldn't have to punctuate with his name. Hallelujah. Our pride, whoops, what was that word? Our pride can cause us to have to prove ourselves, even if we have to use God to justify and fulfill our own pride. You think I just want to pick on you? Why do you think James, you know James, the brother of Jesus? You know James, the one who rolled with the Lord? You know James, he was there during the whole incarnation thing. Why would James take a moment in the midst of this deep, deep theological letter to say, oh, by the way, quit using the Lord's name like that? If it wasn't important, we already got it, by the way, in the book of Exodus. Hallelujah. I'll show you to in just a moment here. If we insist, we choose, we continue to swear, use God's name for the sake of vainglory, James says you stand the chance of being judged for it. Hallelujah. I won't even go there. Psalms 110:14. The only one who's got the power to swear is God. Psalms 110, verse 4 says, the Lord has sworn and will not revoke or change it. And he made a promise, you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Only God can swear on his own name. Only God has the authority to invoke his own name. Only God has the ability to use that authority for the good of all his people. The only one allowed to use that name is himself. Now, God is the only one that can reach out and make a promise and hang on to that promise and fulfill it. We are not allowed to use his authority. Do you get that? There are people in our lives, there are organizations in our life who have authority. You and I are not allowed to use the authority of the police department. We're not allowed to use the authority of the judge. That's not our authority. It's his or hers. Their authority. This authority to make these kind of promises and statements of truth are God's alone. Hallelujah. So closing. I looked all over last night for a picture to put up there. And I figure a guy getting closed in an elevator is as good as any. In closing, can I ever make an oath using God's name or authority? That's a good question. It's a good question. Let me look at a couple of things. Scripture shows that oaths are permissible in some instances. Do you ever have to swear before the judge? You put your hand on that word. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you, Ralph. Judge says that book, get out. We have to make some promises. But here's the thing. I've been sworn in before. Sworn at, too. But I've been sworn in before, but here's the thing. When I've been sworn in, you know what my answer is? It makes people look at me strange. I says, as much as lies within me. Why would I say that? Because sometimes I'm truthful and sometimes I'm not. Because whatever God has promised gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. In Him, this is what we preach, God's yes and our yes together. I can be truthful if Christ has put that truth within me. If I'm submitting to God and He's speaking through me and He's leading and guiding me, then I can say yes, in the name of God, I will tell the truth. If I get off in the flesh, and I don't say this to the judge, but if I get off in the flesh, I might lie to you. Why is that? The things of my Father I find myself doing. Hallelujah. God, yes, and our yes together is gloriously evident. God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ. Here. Putting His yes within us. The only way we can swear an oath is if the power of God is working in us. Oh, hallelujah. By His Spirit, He has stamped us with His eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what He is destined to complete. There's a message right there in that last few words. If God is in us. An example from the writings of Paul. See, a lot of people look. I love this. People say, well, there's contradictions of the Bible. No, you just got to study it out. Well, the Bible says don't swear. Paul's swearing. I told you why in the last scripture. I declare before God that what I am writing to you is not a lie. How could he say that? Where I lost it. Where am I? Oh, got the wrong button. There it is. How could Paul say that? God affirms us, making a sure thing in Christ, putting His yes in us. Paul knew as he sat down to pen that letter to the Galatians, he has submitted himself to God. Hallelujah. But we must not use his name and authority for our own vain purposes. Now, sometimes we use the Ten Commandments that says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. And we seem to think that means don't use the name of Jesus, don't use the name of God. That's cussing. Not a good thing to do. But that's not necessarily what that means in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the Lord of thy name of thy Lord and God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. What's taking the Lord's name in vain? Everything I just said. Using God's authority, using God as a stamp of approval, using God as some kind of a way to bully or manipulate people, that is taking the Lord's thy God's name in vain. Now, if you're one of those people, I'm not, that thinks all you got to do is follow the Ten Commandments. But if you're one of them, work on this one. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot more to Christianity than the Ten Commandments. But let's work on this one. Do not use God's name in vain. Jesus put it simply. If you love me, obey my commandments. Think about it. That's we're done. Think about it. If you love me. Christian, what's that mean, little Christ? Christ-like. If you love me, obey my commandments. What commandment? Oh, what was I talking about? Oh, don't use the Lord's God's name in vain. Let's bow our heads. If you love me, Jesus said. That's really not his signature, in case you're wondering. Just throw that out there. I got an autographed copy. See, it's right there. Hallelujah. That would have went over big when I lived down south. I got me a big old King Jimmy Bible here, signed by Jesus. I'll sell it to you. Never mind. Hallelujah. If you love me, Jesus said, obey my commandments. You know, I hear people say things that they kind of simplify things, and in some ways they're right. They said this whole God thing is about love. I'm not sure what everybody means by that, but I guess there is there's a big element of truth to that. If we're loving on Jesus, because he has saved us, and he has sanctified us, and he has filled us with the Holy Ghost, and he's in the process of changing our lives, if we're in love with Jesus, we show it by doing what he says. Love has a respect to it. Love has a want in it that wants to really make the other person in that love relationship happy and fulfilled. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of marriages, if you're a divorced person, please don't get mad at me, but a lot of marriages don't make it in this society we live in. You know why? We're too busy loving on ourselves than loving on our mate. Oh, why did I open that door? You see, if we're busy in any relationship loving the other person and putting them first, they're going to be so happy. But now, if you're a man, right now you say, well, what about me? Let me help you here. When mama's happy, you'll be happy. When you're making your loved one, you're making your spouse, you're making your significant other one happy, and you're taking your energy and your thoughts off of yourself and helping them, they're going to be happy. Now let's just take that up a notch or two and talk about our love with Jesus. Hallelujah. We know that God loves us. He gave his only begotten Son. He loved us so much that Jesus died on a cross. We just came through the first Advent of Christmas. We're going into the Advent season of Easter pretty soon. God made a decision to give Jesus. Not just that little babe in the cradle, but 30 years later, he made the decision. Well, he made the decision before he did that. But 30 years later, he said, there's the cross. That was love. What does God require back? Love. He doesn't require you to stand on your head or go to China or what. You know, if we're in love with him and he sends us in the mission field, that's cool. But, you know, we don't have to go to Timbuktu in order for God to love us. He loves us anyway. All he asks, if you love me, do what I'm asking you to do. Don't use my name in vain. Don't cuss and curse and add my name onto your silliness. Don't make promises that you can't keep and add my name just so people will believe you. Don't talk so much. I once read a book that said, for God's sake, grow up. I've been wanting to write one, for God's sake, shut up. We all talk too much. If you love me, obey my commandments. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this wonderful sunshiny day. Thank you for this new year. Lord, we leave this place, we're going to go on and enjoy our families and have a great afternoon. I pray, Father God, that as we leave this place, we'll take this directive, teaching from James to heart. Cause us to open our ears and listen to ourselves a little bit more. Cause us to be a little less wordy. Help us to have more content, more meat in what we say. Use less words to say it. Hallelujah. Father, let us be men and women of integrity with Jesus within us, putting his truth inside of us, so as we open our mouth, Jesus will come out. Lord, we do love you. Help us to take this serious and say, I love you, Lord, and I will obey your commandments. With your strength, your power, your mercy, and your grace, I will do this thing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.